This is Yusuf.
And this is In-Flight Entertainment.
Yes, and we got through the election. We're recording before the election outcome, so we're hoping it was a, it's, if it's not, if the counts are not in yet, then we're hoping it's a good outcome. But we'll see. We should do an update. But anyway.
So, because we picked a movie that we wouldn't know. We knew we would be recording without knowing the outcome. So we went down a possible dark road of what happens when the president has absolute power and people are tracking them for what they're doing.
I see what you did there. Yes. And that's what we're about to get into. Absolute power. The Clint Eastwood joint from 1997. I remember seeing this in theaters. When it came out, 97. Yeah. All right. So
this was one of those like TNT, TBS, late at night insomnia movies for me.
All right. Yeah. Well, at this point, you know, Clint Eastwood, you know, like 90s, he was just churning them out. Far as, you know, the movies he was directing, for instance, like, okay, so, all right, so Unforgiven 92, right? And then A Perfect World 93, Bridges of Madison County in 95, then Absolute Power came out after that. And then, you know, moving down the years, we had, of course, Mr. River and Last for Iwo Jima and all that stuff. But yeah, he was making movies in the 90s. As he came out with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He came out with 8 films in that decade.
Yeah, and that's not, I mean, he was also acting in a lot of those. So that's impressive that he was acting and directing all during all of that time.
You know why? Because he figured, because I think he was at a certain age where directors would not hire because he's like over the hill. So I believe he was like, you know what? F it. I'm going to direct and star in my own stuff. Yeah.
Because, I mean, it makes sense. If you're not getting work for what you want, make the work that you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this, of course, is a movie that stars the Clintster, Clint Eastwood, and right. Harris.
Is a professional thief. And it stars Gene Hackman as President Alan Richman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And amazing. Ed Harris.
Mm-hmm. And Laura Lanny. Can't forget about her.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
She's like the female actress that brings a movie together so many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's definitely that
Not even just a female actress. She's an actor that brings movies together.
Yeah, she brings that emotional core. You know, yeah. She's good for that. And then we have Scott Glenn and Dennis Hayward. And if people want to see a totally different Allstate man, watch this, because you'll be like, oh, no, but you're the Allstate man.
Isn't the Allstate man also in what's a baseball movie?
Oh yeah, he was Serrano, yeah. And the Major League. Yeah, Serrano. And wasn't he the president in 24 for a couple of seasons?
He's, every time I see him in a movie, I'm like, it's so weird that that's you.
Guess he wanted to try something different. A departure, if you will.
Right. And he's like a giant.
Yeah.
He's a giant.
he's a big dude.
And then he's like 6'4" or 6'5" or something.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Yeah, he's 6'4", so yeah. Which for Hollywood is a giant. So Absolute Power came out February 14th, 1997.
Yeah.
What was happening on Valentine's Day that year?
Let's see. People were cozying up with, let's see, we had, well, as far as television, not a lot of romantic programming. Monday Night Football, of course, is number 5. I guess you want to call it Friends. Well, Friends, and that was number 4. Veronica's Clause was number 3. ER was number 2. Well, I mean, I guess people were crushing on Clooney. And Seinfeld was number 1. And the Valentine's Day song, I mean, not a very romantic song. It was Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton. That's a breakup song. It was very ironic for Valentine's Day. That was the number 1 song. Or maybe a lot of people were breaking up that week, you know? So that was just the number 1 song. Who knows?
I guess it was lots of breakups happen around Valentine's Day. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Totally.
She has a nice, sexy voice to make you feel better about the breakup. So that works.
Yeah, it works. And you listen to Tony, just, you know, have a little cry session for a second and then you're okay. You get over it. Yeah. So this film, okay, so I like to give more of an insight on the Clint Eastwood aesthetic, meaning Clint Eastwood comes from old Hollywood, and old Hollywood made films different, very different than like now. It was more character driven or more performance driven. Not spectacle, but more just, you know, tension and situations and, you know, character reveals and stuff like that. And Clint Eastwood,
it's about defining the characters versus having a lot of big scenes and music with too much bass in it.
Yeah, like now. Okay. So he comes from the old school. So when you watch a lot, especially in his 90s and actually his movies now, you know, it feels very old school. It feels very stripped down. It feels very simple. It feels very, you know, like just straight on, you know, with the character and the character's journey. And like General said, it's kind of like, you know, situations that reveals the character through other characters more so than like action. And yeah, that's pretty much what the main character that Clint Eastwood plays in this film, who's like this master thief slash artist, like an artist. Well, that's like his hobby, right? He likes to do sketches and stuff like that, right? That's like his front, if you want to call it that.
His front is that he's like retired and he hangs out at museums and does sketches of other art and other people. And yeah. But in reality, he's a master thief that no one's been able to catch because he's so good.
Exactly. So he finds kind of like this estate, this huge, was it a mansion? I don't know what the hell it was.
It was a castle. It's actually a real castle.
They have castles in Washington, D.C.
that specific castle is in Brooklynville, Maryland.
Oh, okay, Maryland, gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow. So.
That's it's part of the Maryvale Preparatory School, but yeah.
I would say is that this Xavier School of Learning? almost look like Professor X's school. Anyway, it could have been. You never know. So, you know, we see kind of his day persona, which is, you know, like Jenna would say, he sketches, he does museums, stuff like that. You know, he goes to the neighborhood, local bartender, tape, you know, football games that he never watched, like live, you know, on VCR, on VHS. So we kind of get a glimpse of, oh, he's just an average everyday kind of Joe. But then it's like his Bruce Wayne. But at nighttime, he throws the cat on and thief man. No, I'm just playing. So his skills really shine when he breaks into this estate or this castle. Seems very run of the mill, you know. He goes in, bypass alarm. He get to the sweet spot, the sweet areas within the castle where he can, you know, get jewels, necklaces, diamonds, and numerous stuff. But it's interrupted by a light turning on. So he finds this, what is it, like this hidden room? Like with,
It's like a panic room that has a two-way mirror.
Right.
Yeah. So he can hide in the panic room while he sees what's going on in the other room. And it's not exactly clear who it is, but it's definitely a man and a woman. And they're hooking up. They're obviously going to have sex. But then the guy starts to get really aggressive and violent. And the woman's not having any of it. He tries to rape her. This entire scene is very, very difficult to watch. They do a fantastic job of showing, the violence in that scene.
Yeah.
But in the end, the woman sort of starts to get the upper hand, and she's on top of him and going to stab him with a letter opener. And some people bust in the door when they hear the man screaming, and they shoot the woman, and she ends up dying. Mm-hmm. And that's where we find out that the man in the room is actually the president of the United States.
Yeah. And the Secret Service people came in to protect their president.
Yes. So now they have a problem. They have a dead girl. The president's drunk. His evidence of him being there is all over the room. So they have to clean it up. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Mr. Clint Eastwood is still hiding in the panic room, watching all of this going on, and they don't know he's there. And so he watches them clean it up. And as they're cleaning up, they accidentally drop the letter opener with the president's blood and the girl's prints on it behind. And so they leave the building. Clint Eastwood gets the evidence and takes off running. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There begins the story of how the president and a secret service go after, try to set him up for this murder.
Exactly. At the same time, we have, you know, detective, I mean, played by the amazing Ed Harris, to try to piece together what happened. You know, the scene of the crime type situation. So you have these three things going on. You have, you know, Clint Eastwood knowing what he knows and the evidence that he have, how he's going to. Actually, first he was going to leave town. He's like, I'm out. I got to go. I can't stay here. At the same time, he's trying to reconcile with his estranged daughter. Because through this argument between him and his daughter, we find out that he was in prison for a while and didn't get a chance to connect with, you know, his only child. And so they're pretty distant at this point. Then another reveal is Gene Hackman, the president, was sleeping with his kind of mentor. What was he? The old man.
He was like his friend / biggest donor.
Okay.
His wife. So the woman that ends up getting killed is his friend / biggest donor's wife. Mm-hmm. And obviously the president's not going to be like, hey, I was fucking your wife. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I got her killed. Instead, he's like, I'm so sorry to hear that your wife was sick. And because she stayed home from your trip to
Barbados or something.
Yeah. That's why she got killed. And really, it was the president's fault. when Clint Eastwood's character sees that that's what's going on, he decides not to leave town and take down the president.
Exactly. Yeah. And at the same time, we have the Secret Service secretly trying to find, you know, Clint and trying to stop him. So we kind of have this cat and mouse with all these three, like, people going on.
But then we also have like the fourth person to just really confuse things, because the widow, whose wife was killed by the Secret Service, also hires an assassin to take out whoever killed his wife.
Yeah, which is Clint. Well, he thought, because he believes Gene Hackman, and he's like, oh, okay, well, he couldn't have done it. Right. Yeah. So yeah. So it was really cool. Like you were saying, it's very. Like, you're like very Law and Order-ish kind of thing. Like, it's so simple. It's such a simple story. It's nothing complex. It's no, like, crazy twist. It's like, the reveal is what it is. And based on the information, the characters have to react based off of this information. It's not like, it's this and, oh, did we say it was this? Nope, psych. It's really that. And now, like, we have to adjust to this new crazy information. Like, it don't try to be clever. It just tells you what it is. It just lets you know, like, this person's responsible for this. This person's being chased because of that. And that's what's happening. Kind of thing. And that's why I kind of respect of like stories like this. And like, don't try to be clever. Just, it's okay to just tell a simple story. Yeah, we used to it. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it builds on each of the characters as it's telling the story. It shows all the interactions. There's no, like, the sixth sense. There's no, like, big surprise at the end. It really is just a nice story.
Yeah.
It starts with a horrible rape scene.
Yeah. Or attempted. Because if the Secret Service didn't go in, she was about to kill him. Like, she was about to, like, put that knife in his throat.
That's true.
Yeah. So, boo for Secret Service people. but, yeah, so it was, so that's pretty much, so two stand out. And like you were saying, that scene, because there was no orchestral score or anything over it, it was just more of, like, it was just the music that the wife or the mistress was playing in the room. That's all you really heard. You didn't hear anything else. But
I feel like if this movie had come out today, there'd have to be some sort of like trigger warning for anyone that's ever been raped, because like the sounds and everything, the entire scene feels way too realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and that is, yeah, it was very I don't remember the scene being that intense. But when, when I rewatched, like, wow, like this is like, I was squirming a little bit. Like, and that's a testament to Gene Hackman's acting and Clint Eastwood's directing. You know, like, the scene could have been shot so many ways that would have took you out of what was happening. It was focused on, you know, the kind of like the flirty fun at the beginning, but then it evolves. It just slowly evolves. It slowly intensifies. It slowly gets like worse and worse with Gene Hackman. You know, it's, you know, he's, yeah, you think, okay, yeah, he just wants sex, but then it started to be more. It started to be about power, 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 corruption of power, you know, overexerting power. Just, it was like that whole scene was just encapsulated like the movie. It was like, you know, because he was the president on top of that, you know, just like abuse. I'm the president, you know, therefore I can do anything. But it can be applied to just a man, like this, you know, a horrible person, you know, that take advantage of a woman. It's like, it's that same mindset. It's like, I have power over you, therefore I could do anything to you. But yeah, what makes it even more messed up that he was a president. That was like, oh, crap. Like, man, not a president's like that. Damn it.
Yeah, mean, it feels like everything you see in that first scene of him trying to overpower the woman is the same thing that he's been doing with his with the country,
yes,
and his friends, and yeah, the people that work for him, and never taking responsibility for anything. And at the end, he finally has to pay for it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And like I said,
part of the reason why we picked this movie, because we hope that real life will reflect art in this situation.
Yes. Yeah. Cause we don't need the absolute power corrupts absolutely statement, especially in the next 4 years. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's cool. So pretty much two scenes that I would say if you were to go to like film school, whatever, like these two scenes you should study. That one scene where Ed Harris, talks to Clint Eastwood at the museum or the school, whatever. And it's like this friendly interrogation type of, conversation when they kind of having lunch, and Clint Eastwood was like, well, I'm too old to do stuff like that, but if I was to break into something like that, I would do this. I probably would look into that. I would look at the schematic. It was just like, it was such a clever scene of Clint Eastwood in so many ways telling him, yeah, I did it. and Harris, like,
mouse scene.
Yeah, and the way it was delivered, and just two great actors just playing off of each other so well. I mean, that scene, like, okay, if you want to know how to write a scene, like, watch that scene. And the scene when he finally when he come across his daughter on the running trail. That scene right there. It was just how Lauren Linney played it with almost humor, kind of like, I can't believe you here. It was like she was more amused than mad when she seen him again. I mean, of course, she could have been like, what are you doing here? Get away from me. Oh, you've never been there for me. Why? I just love how she just played it at the beginning of like, are you serious? Like, you here? Like, what we have to talk about? Is that what to talk about? Like, this is a joke, right? Kind of like how she kind of went in, which hurt him even more. I think it hurts him even more when she's not taking his presence seriously, let alone what he's saying. And I thought that was really good.
It's kind of like she's gone past the anger stage. Now she's just like, are you fucking serious? Get out of here.
Yeah. but you can still see she's hurt, though. Like, it's not like, I'm done with you, but in a way, in certain ways, she was saying certain things. You could tell she was holding back anger because she's hurt. She played it with so many layers. it was brilliant. Like I said, anybody want to know, like, hey, how do you write a good scene? I would give people those two scenes right there. Real well written, and the actors did their damn thing. So, yeah.
And this is just outstanding. So they had good content, good characters, just outstanding.
Yeah. Old school. So, old school.
Yeah. Okay. So our rating is Ass on the Sofa. It's good to watch. Stay home. Put it on your shoes. You're not sure if you should run and hide from any possible rapist or running out in the street and just letting the Secret Service take you down.
Mm-hmm. So. And let the president grope you. Well, for me, it's been a while since I've seen this movie. It's been the last time I seen this movie, maybe early 2000s, I watched it again or something like that. And this is like 10 years later. Or and when I watched it,
time.
Huh.
It'd been a long time for me too.
Yeah, and after like rewatching it, like it's so many things that I caught that I really appreciate and really liked, and there were a lot of decisions with like the acting and the writing and the cinematography that I really liked. So I mean, it's butt on itself for me. And like I said, it's an old school story. If you just want like a stripped down, you know, just a good suspense thriller, yeah, this is it. I mean, that's right there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, definitely trigger warning for the film, for the beginning rapey scene.
Yeah.
But it's definitely ass on the sofa. It is enjoyable. The characters, the interaction. It's just nice to see actors enjoying what they're doing and doing it well.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's absolute power. Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, if it's one of those movies that went over your head and kind of you missed like when it came out and all the other Clint Eastwood movies kind of like pushed this one to the side, give it a look, dig it up. You enjoy it.
You can find it on Amazon Prime right now to rent. And I think maybe on Netflix or Hulu.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. Okay.
Yeah.
So you can watch it on Hulu or rent it on Amazon Prime.
Yes. Okay, guys. So there we go. We got through election week. We'll see you guys next week to see if we are going to Costa Rica or are we popping champagne. We'll see what happens. Until next week, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
wear your mask.
Yes. Peace.